Welcome to How We Saw It Podcast, the podcast where we take topics and discuss how they affected our outlook on life.
This week, it's the wrestling episode.
I am Mike, and as always, the giant Gonzalez to my chloroform, the Triple H to my filler match, Aaron.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Hey, if you dig what we're doing, and of course we hope that you do, please leave us a review and then come over to our Facebook group and hang out, and that's where you'll find all of our episode info.
This is fun. As many people, well, as everybody knows, we are living in end times.
Right? Fucking apocalypse out there.
Global pandemic. And we both have the joy of being deemed essential workers.
Yep. Although I'm less essential now. I've only been doing like one day a week.
Still, you get to go out in public
yeah,
and deal with people.
I still have to deal with, you know, trying to dodge invisible viruses every time I go outside.
So I need to get a note taker, one of those digital recorders.
Yeah.
Because I had a great rant on the drive home.
You should do it. I mean, and the nice thing about you not having Facebook is that I never have to worry about you recording one of those front facing camera videos in your fucking vehicle ranting about something.
Okay, listen up, people. But on the off the top of my head right now, my biggest chief complaint is the buying of non-essentials at the essential stores. Now, I'll admit, I've been out to buy Oreos.
But you said non-essentials.
Well, yeah, but running out to get Oreos, I also did pick up some essentials so that I could alleviate my mind.
Plus, yeah.
The store I chose is the one of them that's paying their workers double for, well, not double, more money
yeah.
for having.
Appropriately?
Yes, appropriately. And they don't have to work for it like I do. See, our hazard pay is only met if you reach certain hours. So you can only be infected by the virus once you reach those hours, apparently.
I mean, that's really kind of it's really kind of thoughtful of the virus. Like, you know, you part-time people, I'm going to leave you alone. But, you know, if you want to go above and beyond, I'm after you.
Right. And it's to check your time. The virus comes in, checks your time.
Yeah. Like, it's like a supervisor, right? Except like, you know, instead of getting a pat on the back and a congratulations when you've gone into overtime, the coronavirus just licks your face or something. And then you get sick.
And probably the one that angers me the most for non-essentials is paint.
Yeah.
Why people are coming in droves to come buy paint is beyond me. It's not on sale. It's not a necessity.
Right.
And it just irks me so much. It makes me physically ill to see groups of people lining up to buy paint.
But yeah, this time. What an odd item. Like, I mean, I guess I can understand, like, everybody wants to do their kind of like home remodeling shit now. But I mean, if you're going out to buy paint, then by everyone, I mean, dickheads, like you don't need paint right now. Like, can't you do something else other around the house that doesn't involve having to get some poor fucking hourly kid sick, you know, like, or potentially sick or even just, I don't know, getting your own family sick. Like there's no fucking common sense. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, Jen has definitely gone out for stuff, right? Like she's gone to the store and she's gone to pick up stuff that we've needed or whatever. In like the heat of the moment, like we need something. Like today, she got a leaf blower. Why? I don't fucking know. Like, she decided she needed a fucking leaf blower, so we got a leaf blower. But like, she put her mask on and just whatever. She goes out. Like, I understand that sometimes you're going to go out for something that might not be essential, but there is no goddamn reason that like the parking lot at the Lowe's by my house should be full. It shouldn't look like it's Memorial Day weekend. It should look like, I don't know, like the British are coming, right? Like, stay inside and board your fucking windows up. Like, Jesus Christ, what the fuck do you need that bad? I just don't get it. And I want to say, like, because I'm sure we're going to rant about this for a while, because why not? I got friends that are nurses and, you know, and work in hospitals, and I am a home health aide. So anybody that I work with, like, you guys are all awesome. Doctors, nurses, all y'all. Like, thanks. Like, however often people say it to you, this shit is not enough. And however much money y'all are making, you should get double. I think easily, you know, it shouldn't even be a question. We would be completely and utterly fucked if not for you. So thank you for everything that you do on behalf of the show and me personally.
I would say we should at least forgive their loans for their schooling.
That seems like the easiest thing, right? Like, that should be the first thing they think of.
Mm-hmm. And then if anyone presents paperwork that they paid it off, go ahead and give them money.
Yeah, give them something back, you know? Like, give them, I don't know, if you don't want to pay the whole half, right? Like, if you've already paid it off, we're going to give you half of it back. That's pretty cool. I don't think it's too much to ask that, like, we actually pay people in this country appropriately for the work that they do, the importance of their work. Because, let's be honest, we both know that 2 days after this all kind of, whenever this blows over and we're allowed to, like, you know, wipe the fucking dark out of our eyes and come out and see the sunlight again and see people, everybody that works in grocery stores and retail gigs like that, they're going to go right back to thinking that they're all not worth what they're paid. Like, I wonder honestly how long it will take for the luster to wear off. Like, I've already seen, like, I've still seen people put up, you know, posts online about how, you know, if you don't want to make minimum wage, maybe you should get a fucking, go learn a trade so that you don't have to earn minimum. Like, fuck you, man. Like, what the fuck? Like, I don't even understand in what, like, even if you're not a religious person and you wouldn't call yourself a Christian, like, that's one of those, like, don't be an asshole moments. Like, a job is a job, and come up pretty soon, depending on how long this takes, there might not be many of them to have. So a minimum wage job is going to be a high paying fucking gig.
That is true.
And if everybody went out and earned and learned to trade, there'd be no need for you. So sure, you learned to trade, but you forgot the first rule of business.
Yeah.
I feel like that rant was coming. We had to have it. I mean, for Christ's sake, what are we on, like, week 3 of this now? I can't even tell anymore. Is it, like, I don't even know. I don't know days anymore. I don't know months. I just know, like, all right, I don't have to go in until tomorrow. And then I come home and then it's just off again. Like, however, I will say, I've never been so relaxed. Like, my whole, like, mental outlook on life is like, things are all right. Or they're going to be all right. They're not all right. They're absolutely 100% not all right. Yeah, let me rewind a little whiteout on that. Yeah, totally not all right, but I'm feeling all right, I guess, right? And that's, they tell you, like, you know, try and remain positive during this whole thing. So I am trying to remain positive.
Remain positive, but still be a realist.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, all right. So, like, you know, Rush Limbaugh is still alive. So that's not so bad. But he's still got cancer. So that's great.
And he still hasn't volunteered to forfeit his life for the economy.
No. He absolutely has not laid his bloated ass down. So that the capitalism train can roll over him. He has not done that at all. He legitimately went on a big rant. I've been going in like 1 day a week, right? So I went in on Thursday, last Thursday, whatever. That was what he was saying, that he was disappointed in his generation because they were unwilling to, or because they were willing to let the economy die. Like, wow. You first, right? Like, you're going to die anyway, so you lead the charge, right? Like, lead by example. Holy crap.
No, his job is to sit in a room and bitch and
right? Like, he doesn't add any kind of fucking value. He doesn't have a trade. Well, he does, but it's peddling bullshit. You've like Glenn Beck said the same thing, right? Like he said that we should be laying down for, I think he didn't, he coin it basically that we should be laying down. Yeah. They should be laying down for the economy. You first, right? If you're going to make a bold ass claim like that, then you better be the first in line, because I'm not losing my parents so you can get something from fucking Kohl's. Sorry.
More like so his stock.
Yeah, so the stock that he owns and whatever is will go up. God, I hate people.
Especially Republicans.
Yeah, I will say that not having to hear the daily fucking beating of Rush Limbaugh and Republican right wing talk radio every day at work like I usually do, it really has calmed me down considerably. Like I think that there's some validity to how shit like that just makes people nutty and angry all the time.
That is true. Even if you agree with it, you're still coming out of it angry.
Yeah, yeah, you're just mad at that they would say something like that, right? Like, I don't know. But anyway, like you know, we said this is the. This is the wrestling episode, right? And I can tie this in. Every year at WrestleMania, if you've been with us for the long haul, every year at WrestleMania, you know that Mike and I get together because we don't get to hang out like in person too much because our schedules don't jive very well. WrestleMania is like the big deal. Like we cater the menu and the drinks to the city or, you know, area of the country that it's in. We make a big fucking weekend out of it. It's less about the wrestling event itself. Like, of course we enjoy watching it and whatever. It's more about like us getting to hang out, right? Like it's more about us getting to hang out. So this was the first one in probably, I don't even know how long. I tried to remember, how long it had been since we missed one. And I think the last one that we missed was when I got married, because I got married on WrestleMania weekend. So that would have been like 13 years ago was the first one that we've missed. And that's freaky because I just looked down at the time counter for the episode and it hit 13 minutes at that point. So anyway, so it was a big fucking deal this year that, not only were we not going to be able to hang out because of all of the shit that's going on in the world, that WrestleMania was going to be completely and utterly different. No crowd. It was going to be held in the performance center where they train all their, you know, the new talent. So it's basically like a big gym. This was WrestleMania, something that holds like, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And it's like a giant spectacle has now been reduced to, you know, a performance in a gym, essentially only for the cameras and whatever skeleton crew they've got there. And it's been that way for weeks on every wrestling program for the most part. Like this is what they're doing. This kind of weirdly over dramatic, minimalistic form of entertainment. But we'll get to that. So this was a really kind of strange, this was a strange one for me and for you. And usually we would have done a WrestleMania episode leading up into this, but we thought, well, with something this different, it probably makes more sense to talk about it afterwards, you know, like when it's all sunk in and we kind of know now what we were in for. All right, so there's the disclaimer, I guess. How was it for you watching the event, like, at home? I mean, aside from, like, you didn't have to wear pants, I guess, right?
Right. It was definitely not the same.
Yeah.
My wife got me treats for it, so that'd be, like, snacks yeah. and beer. And
so pizza. It still kind of feels like something special. Jen did the same thing for me. Like she made like, I don't even remember what she made for dinner, but she got like snack stuff and it was fine. Like it was, We were talking on Messenger, so I at least had that. Like, if it had been, like, you know, 15 years ago when cell phones weren't really much of a thing and we were doing this, I don't think it would have worked quite so well. But, like, this was at least, okay. Like, we were fairly quick in our responses. Like, holy shit, you know. I mean, were you more looking forward to the event because of the kind of weirdness of it, like the no crowd, the all of it, really, like split into two nights? I fucking forgot to mention that. Two nights. It used to be like 8 hours of a Sunday, basically, and then they bumped it to like 4 hours of a Saturday and 4 hours of a Sunday.
I definitely like the shorter format for both.
Me too.
Nights. It's a slog when you watch the whole thing, even like when we're hanging out and stuff.
It's tiring. Like, yeah. You're just like, oh, it's still going, huh? Like,
and I mean, there was one match in there that I don't think I would have survived if that was like hour seven.
No. Oh, God, I'd have been sleeping. Yeah. And I think you made a good point when you said that that match would have been benefited from a crowd.
Right.
At least something to keep it kind of.
And not golf tournament.
Yeah. No whispering on the commentary. It was very, very weird. Very weird. And if you can say weird in a scenario where you're going into it weird anyway, like, you know, that's saying something. So then what were your highlights?
I think other than, I'm sure the ones we'll talk about the most.
Yeah, we're going to get to those. I mean, all right. So what were your highlights of actual matches?
I think I definitely loved the Otis match.
Yeah.
Otis versus Dolph Ziggler match.
It was like the feel good.
Yeah, it was one of the few times in wrestling where like there's a true happy ending.
Yeah.
You know.
Like, I don't know about you, but I was going into it like, how are they gonna ruin this man more? Like, they are just gonna break his poor heart and this is gonna be terrible and it'll never come out in the wash. But no, they totally swerved us.
Mm-hmm. And I was happy that the Drew McIntyre Brock Lesnar match was competitive.
Yeah. And
the right man won.
Yeah. And it was short. I mean, not that I thought it was going to be a long match, but it was pleasantly short.
Mm. What else? The women's five-way was more entertaining than I thought it would be, but
yeah, still, it really was.
Still wasn't great.
No, it felt very I don't know, the ending was kind of weird to me. You know, Sasha gets eliminated and then she comes back and you're kind of like, what, why, the fuck for? But I don't know,
the Charlotte and Rhea Ripley match was well competed and probably the best of the women's matches.
Yes,
but it
had the worst finish.
Yeah.
And that was rough for me to say, because going into the Shayna Baszler Becky Lynch match, I was honestly split on who I wanted. Mm-hmm. Like, of course, I want Becky Lynch to win because I'm a fan. But at the same time, I was like, she's had the belt for quite a while and she could probably, maybe she wants a couple days off. I don't know. Like, maybe she doesn't want to have to go to every fucking event. And this would be a good chance to, you know, put the title on Shayna Baszler and let her run roughshod for a while. But no. I feel like they kind of did. There was a lot of finishes of matches that would have been very different if a crowd had been present.
Mm.
If it had been situation as usual, I think it would have been different.
Right.
In some cases. Not on the, I mean, obviously you wouldn't have had Braun Strowman versus Goldberg if there had been a normal WrestleMania. It would have been Roman Reigns, but obviously he's recently recovered from leukemia, so he opted out of WrestleMania altogether. Man, it was just, it's been weird. Like, I know, I'm sure a lot of you are like, ugh, fucking wrestling talk. And I didn't give you like 2 months of it. Like, we usually kind of buffer out, like, we're going to start talking about 2 months out. So, I mean, I'm sorry, but it's the same time. Like, it's over and done. I promise it'll be quick. Yeah, I mean, it's going to feel weird to say this, but it's kind of one of my more favored WrestleManias, I think. I don't mean like it's my favorite, but it's up there. It was enjoyable. Maybe because it was split over two nights and it wasn't, like you said, like the 8-hour slog. Maybe because it was just so different. But honestly, I've been really enjoying wrestling with no crowd. Because they have to show the action in the ring. Like, if somebody hits a big move, like, there were plenty of big moves last night, but if there had been a crowd there and regular cameras, somebody would have hit a big move, and then they would have immediately gone to the crowd to show you how the crowd was reacting. Right. But I don't need to see how the crowd is reacting, because I can hear them. Mm-hmm. I'm not paying to see the crowd reaction. I'm paying to see the action in the ring. So just stick to the action in the ring, and the crowd is ambient noise. That's it. That's all the crowd is ever supposed to be. You don't get to be part of the fucking show. Like, they've made WrestleMania. WrestleMania used to be a really, really big wrestling show with a crowd in attendance. And then it became a really, really big wrestling show, and the crowd was a bit more involved. And then it flipped and it became a really big wrestling show, but the crowd was fucking running it. And this kind of set the reset button back to what it should be. Like, it's like theater. Like, and I know it's stupid to say that because everybody's like, "Yeah, wrestling is fucking theater." Like, it is fucking theater. It's they're acting. They're telling story and they're putting on a sport based theater. You don't get to be part of that show. As a crowd, when you buy a ticket, you just get to be a voyeur. Like, that's your part. In all of this, you boo, you cheer, but they're not obligated to acknowledge that you exist. Like, they're putting on the show. You paid your money. This shit's done. That's the end of the fucking transaction. If you don't like what you saw, don't buy another ticket. Like, that's kind of how I feel like it needs to go back to. I feel like wrestling crowds got way, way, way too entitled. And maybe I'm old. And, you know, that's why I'm viewing it that way. But I don't feel like the crowd should get to have a hand in it. There, that was my soapbox. That was my soapbox moment. My pipe bomb.
It's great to get through a promo without
the interruption. Yes! All of that stuff. Think about all of the promos and the weird stuff we've seen lately. And we're about to get into some weirdness right after this. Think about all the weird stuff that you've seen on wrestling TV over the last 2 or 3 weeks. And just ask yourself, would you have seen any of this if there was an audience? No, because you couldn't have pulled half of it off.
Yeah, there's no way they would have
shut. The crowd has become too much of a part. I feel like when we go back to normal, wrestling needs to be split. It needs to be half of the shit that we're about to talk about and half of the stuff that we're used to. And I feel like that would eventually they would filter into each other and that would be fine. They would make their way, they would even out and everything would be fine.
I like that.
All right, so we've been teasing that we're going to get into some weirdness, and we are. Both nights of WrestleMania had two very unique matches. One being the Boneyard match, which nobody knew going into it what this was even going to be, because they've never had a Boneyard match before. It was The Undertaker versus AJ Styles. And then on night two, Sunday night, you had the Firefly Funhouse match between John Cena and the Fiend Bray Wyatt. Okay. Now we can't talk about these both at the same time. And in a minute you'll understand. So we'll start with the first one and we'll go to the Boneyard match, which was it was filmed, staged. Like, think of it as watching a C-grade action movie. Right? Like, the acting's not great. Special effects aren't great, but it's charming. It's fun. And as a wrestling fan, fuck, you haven't seen anything like this since the 70s. Maybe the 80s. But all right. So AJ Styles rolls up to the, you know, rolls up to the boneyard, the graveyard, in a hearse. He gets out of a coffin. He's laughing. He's mocking the Undertaker. And then Undertaker rolls up on his motorcycle. They're playing a Metallica song. You couldn't have done that in the fucking arena because you'd never been able to hear it. And they proceed for, what do you think? It was about 20 minutes, 25? Or was it longer than that and I just lost track of time?
It was about 20 minutes.
Yeah. They pummel the piss out of each other, like throwing each other through fucking buildings and walls are blowing up. And like they just a beating, throwing them through windshields. And then at one point, like ninjas showed up. They weren't ninjas, but they were dudes in like hoods. And it looked funnier to call them ninjas. So that's what we went with. And then they all fucking fought. And then, you know, you think the Undertaker's going to lose and, oh, AJ Styles is going to get him. And then, boom, the Undertaker fucking teleports. And I think I even said, like, did he just fucking teleport? He's behind AJ Styles and he beats him up some more and he throws him in and he dumps the dirt on him. He's sitting on top of the, you know, he's leading. He's AJ's buried. The match is over. It had a cinematic quality to it. A very cinematic quality to it. Even if you do not like wrestling, I can't possibly recommend enough that you go on YouTube or wherever you can find it and you watch the Boneyard match. You're going to be like, this is corny. And I'm going to say it's fucking supposed to be. It's not supposed to be serious. That's the thing about wrestling that got lost when we started not doing all of this kind of like weirdly over the top kind of theatrical stuff. It got taken too fucking seriously. You know, we don't have the suspension of disbelief anymore. We know it's not real. We know these are not real fucking physical contests. So you don't have like the kind of luxury that you had, say, in like from the 20s to like the 60s and 70s, where it was just two guys fucking fighting, you know, and maybe one of them had a gimmick, but usually it was just two guys in Speedos jumping around. Like, You thought they were really fighting, so that it was fine. It was like watching a boxing match. And then it got gimmicky, and gimmicky is fun. Gimmicky is a lot of fun, and you can still do those two things together with gimmick. And then it got too gimmicky, and then it got, you know, edgier, and then it got, you know, like I said, the veil got pulled off completely, and then it got boring. And now it's back to two guys, you know, sometimes just two random dudes in fucking Speedos fighting. And as a wrestling fan, sure, it's entertaining to watch. But as a normal person, no, like it doesn't make any fucking sense. Like you're like, they're not fighting. Like you can't claim it's real anymore because we know it's not. So give us the absurd again. Give us something that'll make us laugh and make us go like, what the fuck? Because that's what we're missing. Like this is wrestling has such a chance right now to quite literally start from the beginning again. Like they can reinvent the fucking wheel.
Right. For non-wrestling fans, think about it. It's trying to go from Days of Our Lives to Passions.
You know, yeah.
You can still have a soap opera, but you need the magic and the unexplainable to make it fun.
Yeah, because there's no suspension of disbelief anymore. So now I need absurdity because otherwise I know this is just bullshit. Like I know it's not real. All right. So anyway, that was the Boneyard match. And like I said, I recommend you finding it. But then we move to Sunday night. And all right, here we go. The Firefly Funhouse match between John Cena and Bray Wyatt. Now anybody, obviously, if you're not a fan, you're not going to know what Bray Wyatt is or what the Fiend is. He's this kind of like, God, how would you even describe him? Like it's not Mr. Rogers, but he has like it's like a children's show kind of thing. And he's like almost like too nice and too like, whoa. And then there's like, you know, some tongue in cheek kind of violent references. And then there's the Fiend, who is this underlying alter ego. That's like this nightmarish kind of creature. This is gimmick. Like this is full on like a character. Like I'm supposed to believe he's two different fucking people. So when the match first started, did you think they were going to really match?
I was in the middle of messaging you. You were like, God damn it. I thought they'd do something cool. I was texting that.
Yep. And it started out that way. Like John Cena's music hits and he comes out and he gets in the ring and then, you know, the Fiend's music hits and nothing happens. And then all of a sudden they poof, and John Cena is transported into the Firefly Funhouse. This kind of like, he's in the TV show, and it proceeds to go through these, like, now anybody that knows wrestling would understand this, but anybody that's not a fan, John Cena has kind of been viewed over the last, like, would you say like 15 years or so, as like a Superman type of character, in which like he comes in and you know he's going to win, almost like Hulk Hogan. Like if you think of Hulk Hogan from the 80s, how he was like the face of the company and like the rah-rah, and you know, never loses, basically. That's kind of how they treated John Cena for a good long while. And the Fiend, Bray Wyatt, takes him through all of these little like vignettes of stuff that was kind of like mimicking Hulk Hogan's career. Like it starts off doing like, when John Cena fought Kurt Angle in his very first match, right? And there's like puppets from the fucking kids show, and one of the puppets is Vince McMahon, who's doing commentary. It's very like kind of wink wink. So like he fights, you know, Kurt Angle, and you get like everything he's doing is the opposite of how it happened. Like John Cena can't hit anybody. Every time he goes to grab Bray Wyatt or the Fiend, he vanishes and he pops up in something else. And they go to like, you know, when John Cena was the white rapper, the doctor of Thuganomics, he comes out wearing the old outfit. Like he was wearing all of his old gimmick outfits. And like, he does one little rap on Bray Wyatt, and you know, he tries to beat him up and nothing happens again. And he vanishes. And then it goes to like Saturday night's main event. But then it starts mirroring stuff that happened in Hulk Hogan's career and putting John Cena in the, like the Hulk Hogan type of position. So he's like working out, like, oh, he's hulking up, and he gets tired. He's fucking worn out. And then it flips over to the NWO from WCW, and Cena's playing the Hogan type character. And it acts like as if these things had actually happened. Like John Cena had actually had this kind of career that mimicked Hulk Hogan's. And then at the very end, like I'm expecting, John, this is going to go on for how long do you think that one went? Cause that one was long. About a half hour, about, you think, that, maybe? Yeah. All of a sudden, it kind of comes to a screeching halt at the end, and the Fiend lays Cena out, counts his own pin, like another Bray Wyatt counts his own pin. And that's how the match ended. Like, it just went poof, and they go back to the host of WrestleMania, who's just got this kind of like dumbfounded look on his face, like, what the fuck did I just see? And I was firmly on board with that assessment of what the fuck did I just see? Mike, what the fuck did we see? It was great. It was so ridiculous and so over the top. And I honestly don't think I've ever had more fun watching something like that. It was better than the Boneyard match, and the Boneyard match was fantastic. Like, did you, like, were you kind of like, were you caught off guard, or was it kind of where you expected it was going to be?
I was hoping for something weird like that, especially after the previous night, and they definitely threw us for a loop with the how they started it, because I was convinced, oh, great, they're just going to have a regular match.
Yeah, it looked like it started like it was going to be a regular match. And I think if it had gone to a regular match, like I think I was probably under the assessment that John Cena was going to win.
I'm still under the assessment he might win, even in the...
Mm-hmm. I could still be watching it right now. I don't even know. But now the thing that I did take away from both of these matches was that felt like the Undertaker's last match to me. Did it feel that way to you?
The documentary, the preview that followed.
Yeah, like they did that documentary right after it, which I watched the 20-minute like teaser for, and I think it's going to be really good. Yeah, it seems like it's going to be really good. But it kind of also felt like John Cena's last match
because he just disappeared.
Well, he disappeared, but he also like he let Bray beat him. Like he went out on his back. didn't really lose, like I'm air quoting, because they didn't have a legitimate kind of match like that. But this could be the kind of way for Cena to walk away for 2 or 3 years, do whatever he's doing with movies and TV, and you know, and the Fiend went over. The Fiend won. I think it was like a smart, I think it was a smart way to do this, especially with the Undertaker thing. Like, I feel like this was like, you don't want the Undertaker to lose his last match. Nobody wants the Undertaker to lose his last match. So this was a way to, he won a match, but I feel like AJ still came out looking okay.
So for the whole being buried alive,
because it wasn't thing. A match in like the
strict. The whole being buried alive thing.
Well, yeah, he's going to have to dig his way out. But what was up with that mustache? God, it was like a pencil thin thing, right along like the top of his lip there and down into his goatee. Like, the amount of work that it must take to shave that and make it that fucking even, I don't even have that kind of patience. I don't even, ugh. Yeah, so that was Mania. Don't worry, we got more. Like, I know you're anybody looking at the time, like, 30 minutes. Like, yeah, no, we know. Like, we know. I do have to ask, though, man. Did we decide if Elias's jeans were pajamas or not?
I'm telling you, it was the match over who gets to wear the...
Well, in that case, they are. Because he won the match, so then, yes, Elias's jeans are pajamas.
No, I meant, because they both wear those pajamas.
So now it's
Elias should be the one, though.
Yeah, now it's Elias. Yeah. Yep. I don't know. I thought they were jeans, right? Like, I just assumed that they were regular jeans. And then Jen's like, is he wearing pajama jeans? And I couldn't unsee it. And of course, as soon as somebody asks a question like that, they never put the camera close enough in one spot for long enough for your eyes to kind of figure it out. So that's when I brought you into the conversation. I was like, are his jeans fucking pajamas? Like, you said you thought maybe they were too. And then other people, Jen poised the question online and other people felt the same way. So I'm just, I don't know what the fuck is real anymore. Like, pajama jeans. How awful. How?
I don't know what's more awful, the pajama jeans or wrestling in your jeans.
I don't know how anyone does that. Like, I mean, I'm not athletic anyway, but even there's a thought of like sitting down too fast in my jeans isn't a comfortable thought. I can't imagine putting on like a physical exhibition wearing them. It used to be like that was what you wore like when you were doing like the tough guy matches, right? Like you wore that when you were doing like the barroom brawl type matches where this was going to be a fight and you knew it was going to be a fight because that son of a bitch wore his jeans and his cowboy boots. That's exactly what they wore to all of them, jeans and cowboy boots. And sometimes, if you were watching in the 80s, you'd get somebody who had a t-shirt, but the sleeves were cut off, right? And the collar was cut out. And that guy was probably going to lose because that's a terrible look. But that's what they used to fight in. And now, like in the 90s, like ECW and places like that, like dudes were just fighting in fucking street clothes. So you weren't sure if they were working or just wandered in. And then it kind of became like more people do it now. I feel like it's way more common now than it used to be. I don't know. Little things, right? All right. So I know I've made you suffer. I Quentin Tarantino'd there for a second. All right. Okay. I've made you put up with wrestling enough, audience. I'm sorry. So what we had kind of thought we would do... was like a Q&A type episode. And you'd be like, what? Like, I would ask Mike shit and vice versa. It's like nothing serious. Like, this isn't like a fucking confessional or anything. At least I don't know. I don't know what Mike wrote. But all right. So I have to throw this one back in because there was an ill-fated Final Fantasy episode before this recorded. It was probably one of the best episodes we've ever recorded. And of course, that meant it was completely and utterly corrupted and the file was just useless. But on that episode, I asked Mike the question, what was scarier? Somebody invading the Earth from outer space or from the ocean, like under the water? So I wish we could go back so that I could get the reaction, because you were like, huh, that's a good question. Like, you were like, it was a legitimately good question. I felt pretty proud of myself there for a few minutes. I can't get that reaction again, but I do want to ask the question again.
Huh, that's a good question.
thanks, man. I appreciate it.
I believe I said from the ocean, because it's, we yes. haven't studied the ocean fully. So there's a lot of life forms under there. So it'd be really cool if there was like
like Aquaman type.
It'd be
shit,
scary, you know? If there was like under intelligent life under the sea.
Yeah. I think I said something to the effect of like, if they were from outer space, then they're coming from someplace else here. But if they came from under the water, they were here the whole time. And that's like, to me, that's to more terrifying, was the fact that they've been here the whole time, like studying us, you know, like ready to strike. Right. Anyway, sometimes questions are better when you ask them the first time. All right, let's see. Do you have one?
I'll let you ask another one because that was.
Okay. Yeah, because that was like a doubled over one there. Let's see. Which one do I want to do? All right. What are you listening to right now that might surprise people?
Probably the same thing as you would be The Weeknd. I thought that was it's a really good album. It doesn't, I know it's like number one on the charts, and it was a the WrestleMania song single off of it was, but it's still a pretty good.
Which is where I heard it. I can't claim anything other than like, I knew that you liked the album, that you told me that it was quite good. And I was like, I'll have to check that out at some point. And then I was like, hey, man, what's that WrestleMania song? That's really catchy. And you were like, that's The Weeknd. And I've probably listened to it 20 times already. And I listened to the album today for the first time, and I thought it was really damn good.
It's kind of like Daft Punk meets a Donald Glover type lyricist.
Yeah. You
know, it's not clean by any stretch of the imagination.
No. There's some stuff in there that's really heady, and then there's some stuff in there that's really emotional, and then there's some stuff in there that's just like songs about fucking, basically. Mm. Like, there's no other way to put it. But that's kind of how a good album should be.
Okay. I've erased your gamer score, so you don't have that burden. Which system are you getting? The PS5 or the PlayStation, or the, whatever it's called, Xbox 17.2.
Xbox, whatever it is.
Yes.
The Cube. And I can't say both, I'm guessing.
First, the one you're getting first, then.
I would probably still go with the Xbox first. I think it's the system I'm more comfortable playing now. But I have to say, I have been getting equally comfortable with the PlayStation again. I played Horizon Zero Dawn recently again, and it was a lot of fun. And I kind of fell right back into the control. I was nervous because I had deleted the game because I needed space when Spider-Man came out, and I thought I was going to have to start all over. I was like, damn it, I'm going to have to go back and do all that over again. And I was like, well, you know what? It won't be so bad. I can, you know, pay more attention to learning the controls. So I installed the game again, and then it was like, I went to fire it up, and it loaded up my last game. Like, it didn't delete my save files. So I was like, that's fucking great. I don't have to do all that other stuff again. And then I realized it dropped me in the middle of a field with shit all around me, and I don't remember how to play. So I ran like hell, and I managed to kill one or two things and get away without dying. And then I would say slowly, but that's not true. It was like a trial by fire learning to learning those controls again. But I think I would buy the Xbox first, but I would have the PlayStation not long after that. Probably it would on, you know what? It might depend on who came out with the better launch game. If there was if the PlayStation came out with like, you know, here's the PS5 and surprise God of War. Yeah, I'm going with that one. Like, I'm not waiting on a game like that. That's like one of my series.
So the thing I think about the Xbox that's got it is, it doesn't matter if there's killer apps right away, you still have a whole library to play because the games are backwards compatible all the way back to
it's
one.
It's all backwards compatible. Yeah.
Original, back to that's the original, true. I mean.
Wow. That's pretty awesome.
And then games with gold is just, that's probably the best service out there. It's light years beyond, gold or PlayStation Plus, yeah. Which is just, you get two games a month and...
Right.
They're generally good.
Yeah, I only recently started even checking into the whole games with gold thing. Like, I always forget it was there. And then I think I popped on and it was like, you can get Call of Cthulhu for free. And I was like, fuck, I kind of wanted to play that. And I heard it wasn't great, but I don't have to pay for it now. So,
and it's not a streaming service. It's a, you download it to your system and play it for, locally. Like, yeah. I have it for the computer version. So that means I can play Xbox games on my computer while
on the computer, which for you is perfect.
Yeah, that means we can play if we pick a game and everything.
Yep. Which I told the boy that about Call of Duty, and he is interested to see you play.
See me suck.
Well, compared to him, most people do. That kid is like a fucking assassin. Do you remember I want to say it was in like Modern Warfare 2 when they had the nuke, where if somebody got like, 30 kills or whatever, they would just wipe the board, basically. It would just end. He could do it. I'm almost positive he's that good. But I've been playing with him, and it's actually been fun. I know I swore I would never buy another one of those games. And then I watched him play the multiplayer for like 5 minutes, and I was like, wow, it does look pretty good. And then you said you had played it, and you really liked it. And I was like, fuck. Maybe it's better than I thought it was going to be. And then, like the allure of being able to shoot your kid in a video game, like playing competitive, we would play and I would shoot him, and from the other room, you hear like, dad, he was all fucking mad at me. It was great. So satisfying. Okay. Let's see. What would your ideal job be? Like, if you could pick your dream gig, what would it be?
Jesus, man.
I had to throw one heavy one in there.
I guess the thing is, if we could make a living doing this, it'd be fun. I mean,
that's kind of where I was leaning on it, too.
But if you wanted to be real world, probably the safety inspector of Sector 7G.
There you go. Do it for her.
Yeah, probably. I don't know. There's nothing really appealing to work,
right?
For me.
You know,
there's no dream job because I don't want to work.
Because it's still a job. Yeah. No, I totally understand. Like, I when I wrote down these questions, I was like, well, you better have an answer for it too, in case he flips it on you, so you don't sound like a dummy. And I thought basically the same thing. Right, now I know you're going to do it, so I'll just doing this would be like ideal, right? Like, this would be like the fantasy fucking gig. I don't fucking know, like, in real world, what I would want to do. Like, you've pointed out in the past, like, I don't particularly like dealing with people, and I don't know. Like, you say something like, oh, it'd be cool to work in a record store, and yeah, it would for like a week. And then it would be customers again, right? Like, and then it's just a job again. Like,
I had to do inventory.
The first time you have to do inventory, you're dust fucking shelves or something like that, where you're like, this is bullshit. Like, I don't know. I mean, I guess there's no perfect gig. Like, you're going to have good and bad on anything, but I don't know. It's hard. I don't honestly, like, my mom around the holidays was like, Aaron, if you could do, what would you want to do if you could pick any job? And I just gave her this blank, dumb look, like, how humiliating that is in your 40s to stare at your mother with like a blank, dumb look on your face when she asks you a life question. Like, good Lord, I should have had this figured out by now. Like, she's just hoping I get something together before she dies, basically. But I don't know. I don't know what it would be. I really don't. Like, this would be the fun kind of fantasy gig. And if I could figure out some way to easily make coin doing it, fuck yeah, I would do it in a heartbeat. But like you said, the realism of it is that, we're a drop in a ever expanding ocean. So, you know, it's not as easy to make it, you know, where you're living off of it. You can make, sure, you can make some money, but it's not, it's hard to get a career out of it, I guess. I mean, I suppose I could start like an OnlyFans, right? I'm sure there are people out there to pay me to keep my clothes on. I just start off in like my underwear and you pay me to put more on. Inside of 45 minutes, I look like Randy from A Christmas Story. All right, so I guess I have to go again because you flipped it on me. All right. Okay, here's a good one for you. All right. So let's just say you're at the house by yourself. Your wife is out. It's just you, the dog, and the bird. And you got some tunes going, and you're just, you know, you're kind of tooling around the house. Do you dance when you think no one's watching?
I dance when people are watching.
Amen, dude. That's what I was going to say. I can't dance for shit, but I will bop across the kitchen floor like nobody's business.
Can't deny the beat.
Oh, that makes me feel good to hear, man. That's good.
Can't be ashamed of your lack of talent.
It's true. It's true. I should be used to it at this point, really.
See, it's the benefit of being white. Everyone expects you to have no rhythm.
That's, yeah, right? Like, if you have no rhythm, it's just like, well, that's...
I'd hate for the opposite. Yep. Then I'd be...
Yeah. Then anybody want... Do that again. No, now there's people watching. What do you think is the best James Bond theme song?
Probably Adele's.
It was good. It was good. I think my favorite is Chris Cornell's from Casino Royale. Mm-hmm. Or View to a Kill by Duran Duran. If you're going classic, I feel like that one is pretty badass. You know, it's fun. We say, like, you know, the talking about Duran Duran and made me think that, like, The Weeknd sound like, now that I've listened to that whole album, like, it sounds like an 80s album, sort of.
Oh, yeah, it's that whole
thing. And I dig it.
The whole synth wave is like, coming back.
Yeah, I think Spotify classified it as, they called it like new synth pop or new wave pop. New wave pop was the term that they gave it, new wave pop. And I was like, it really does sound like all of those albums in the 80s that I was like too young to really listen to. Like that kind of earlier 80s stuff. I really like it. I like the sound. I don't know if I can listen to a ton of it, but like, I feel like it's something that if like I find something I like, I'll fucking grab onto it.
Yeah. Well, why don't you wrap us up?
All right, so this was our mishmash episode of WrestleMania / Q&A / anti-capitalism coronavirus rant. It's been a few weeks. We had stuff to get off of our chests. I hope you liked it. I certainly enjoyed recording it, and we have had way less issues thus far than we had with the Final Fantasy episode. So in theory, this could be out to you, like, I don't know, soon. Y'all could be hearing it, and that excites me. Mike, if the people wanted to find you on the social media, where would they go to do it?
Leading the People's Revolution against the Proletariat. We have the power now. We need to seize it. Eat the Rich. That is at Medic5x5 on Twitter. I also follow Thirst Traps.
Yeah, you're back into that again, which I wholeheartedly approve. Communism and Thirst Traps. All right. So if you want to follow me on Twitter, you would go to athomas1978. If you want to follow the podcast, I did finally change the address for it. So it's at @howwesawitpod. So it's not the weird underscore thing anymore. Forget all about that. If you want merch, go to Zazzle. Look up How We Saw It podcast or just How We Saw It. Plenty of stuff there. All kind of cool. If I see you wearing it in public, I don't even know what the fuck I'll do with it. I think it'll just blow my mind. And then, like, I don't know, maybe I take a selfie or something. Mostly just for me, because I can be like, look, somebody listens to my show. Anyway, we will see you all next time, Mike, say goodnight to everybody.
Goodnight, everybody.
Later, y'all.